please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
We are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, Christy, should we start a Snapchat channel-worthy podcast? Today is Tuesday, July 7th, 2020. What do you think? Well, should we go on Snapchat?
I think Snapchat's a fun idea. I know you tossed out my TikTok suggestion yesterday.
Yeah, no, that's not happening ever.
But like one of the podcasts I listened to did just recently start a TikTok. It's not crazy. Other folks are doing it.
I know, but I just feel like we were just talking about how we use a VPN to protect the Optimist Daily.
I know.
Make sure we don't get attacked. And
the
then,
evil
like,
empire of TikTok.
I know. Well, I feel like I'm not 100% sure how to properly use Snapchat. I use it to text with my oldest daughter because I don't really receive text properly in our house because we live in the boondocks, but any internet protocol I can get messaging. So I text with her on Snapchat, but other than using my Bitmojis and posting pictures of my food, I'm not 100% sure of what to do on Snapchat. But we do need to kind of diversify our marketing tool. We talked about this in the exec meeting yesterday, but at the Optimist Daily, we're kind of stuck. A lot of companies are boycotting Facebook this month and not running advertisements on Facebook. That has had an interesting result for the Optimist Daily, where our ads are performing substantially better because there is less competition in the bidding market. But we do recognize that we wish we could participate because we had a bigger media mix. So the discussion of Snapchat began. So if anyone out there is like a Snapchat expert and knows how we could turn the Optimist Daily's channel into a Snapchat feed, give us a ring, shoot me an email, summers@optimistdaily. I want your ideas because I don't think we should have an Optimist Daily channel entirely full of my Bitmojis. Anyway, random side thought today, Christy. Let's get out of technology and into the garden. What did you like on the Optimist Daily today?
Well, yeah, I think it's funny because also in our editorial meeting, we're talking about gardening and different aspects of food production. And I think our writers really responded to our interest by doing quite a garden full list of articles today. So the one I decided to focus on today has the headline, How Groups of Gleaners Are Bridging the Gap Between Farms and the Food Insecure. And this is in our food category on the Optimist Daily. And I just like this because for a second, I wasn't sure what a gleaner was. And then I realized that I actually have been one. And basically what it means is just kind of gleaning produce from the neighborhood, just kind of going in and picking things that are just on the trees, whether that means dandelion greens from a field that you're hiking through or the lemons off the tree in front of the hotel that it happens to be in your neighborhood, which is something I've actually done before. It's something that has filled into home pantries. And also there's been community activists, community gleaners who have sought leftover harvest crops to enjoy for themselves or to sell at community markets. And it's just part of not letting food go to waste. And also the current situation with a lot of folks being impacted from this pandemic. There's new groups of gleaners who are coming together through online tools and through other community organizations, actually volunteering to go out there and harvest things even from farms to collect and donate or sell to food pantries and to help those who are food insecure situations. So I just thought this was a really great solution. It's something that we don't often think about, but I love foraging in my neighborhood. I love foraging on the trail. It's so interesting to feel connected to the natural abundance. I'm lucky enough to live in California, and there's a lot of that. There's avocado trees everywhere. I go to my mother's house. They have 4 orange trees. I can't leave there without a bag full of fresh oranges from their backyard. in the beginning of this pandemic, one of the things that I felt good from, because this was in spring, there was a lot of households in my neighborhood where they were just harvesting their trees and putting boxes out and inviting people to help themselves. And yeah. I thought that was a sign of sort of community giving in that way. And I don't know if you know anybody who's growing tomatoes or squashes, but you know, when you grow those in your backyard, when you get a harvest, it's like all or nothing. I mean, there's so much.
There's
so much produce. Planted. You have to get rid of it somehow, right?
Well, my parents show up when they visit with usually a bag of tomatoes this time of year. I have loved the notion of gleaning for a very long time. When I was in high school, actually, our high school, I think it was our sophomore or our junior trip, was actually a volunteer trip and to go to a field in Central California and glean. And what basically the function of that trip was is that after the professional pickers would go through and collect all of the produce that was appropriate for supermarkets, volunteers would then go through and pick out anything that remained, which would then be redirected to food banks. And so while you guys are looking for things to do this summer or ways to be of service, look into whether or not there are programs like that in your community. I know that there are tons of programs like that in the Central Coast. Certainly they have changed because of social distancing rules, but I love that this is still a vibrant way of adding abundance to food banks and those who are food insecure. It's just a really meaningful thing to do. And actually, I think if you've got kids, it's so valuable for them to go and actually do the labor and to recognize where our food comes from and that it doesn't just show up in shiny farm boxes on your front porch as ours does these days. That there's real work that goes into bringing food to the table.
And as you commented earlier, when you were doing your high school volunteer gleaning, it's really hard work too. Yes. It's not to be taken lightly. And I think that it gives you appreciation for the men and women who do this for a living and who actually do bring the food to our grocery stores. You kind of have to appreciate that food production and food procurement is not something that it's as simple as just going into a grocery store. And I think that's one thing the current environment has shown us. It's made us think about where our food comes from in a different kind of way. And so I appreciate that. Yeah. And speaking of food, what's the story you wanted to highlight?
Well, in the verdant adventure that was the Optimist Daily today, I had to decide between whether or not I wanted to talk about blackberries and skincare or microdosing marijuana, or that Vermont has now made it illegal to throw food waste in the trash. So this is a story about composting, and I have been sort of befuddled, I'll admit, by composting, not entirely sure how to do it, wanting to do it. You know, everybody knows, like, I keep my coffee grounds and all of our tea leaves and we throw them in the garden. And I have this gorgeous garden because of what my friend who helps me tend it calls my secret sauce, which is basically cat scat coffee grinds and tea leaves. But composting is something that I've always wanted to do. And certainly because we have a lot of food waste, because we do eat a lot of veggies and a lot of strawberries, and there's lots of orange peels and things in our garbage that I know does not need to go to landfill. Well, Vermont just recently made it illegal to throw these kinds of things into landfill. They have also the most comprehensive ban on single-use plastics. And while they don't expect to enforce at a residential level, 72% of Vermonters were composting at home. So what this led me to, and you can read the story on the Optimist Daily, but I am going to encourage our writers to do a follow-up article on how to compost, because believe it or not, a lot of people don't know, including me. And I found some great sources on EPA.gov on composting at home, and then what to do with your compost afterward, which is to spread it into the garden. You can make something called compost tea, where you extract it in water and pour directly into plants. You can put it in potted plants. So I think, even though I'm not sure how much longer we're going to live in the home that we're in, I think a summer project for me and the kids is going to be getting this composting thing up and running. And we'll leave it as a gift to the future owners of this home, because I think that there's no reason not to. It's really good for the world and it'll keep stuff out of landfill.
It's a win-win, and you're actually going to be investing as a renter in your current home, which is kind of cool. Ties in with yesterday's conversation about one of our stories from yesterday. And I think this is a great solution. I think it is important for things like Vermont trying to support this individual action with policy-wide measures. One of the things that for me, I've been talking about starting composting in my mini backyard, but I don't know what I'm going to do with all of that dirt once it becomes dirt, because I don't have very much actual space. So having any kind of a green waste or compost waste type of removal would be really important for those of us who live in smaller footprints or apartments. This is a great movement towards this direction. But if you don't have a backyard to do a composting in, there's still ways you can compost and use that in a positive way. Some cities do have composting pickup kind
pick
of
up
thing.
As well. Yeah. Well, you were joking about like how industrious would you be? Would you pack up your compost in the car and drive? And I was thinking about, you know, we have this great garden here and there's lots of places around my home where you could share your compost. But I also was thinking, you know, the odds are the place where this compost bin is going to live is literally right outside our bedroom window. So I was interested to find out that composting traditionally doesn't actually have that much of a smell. So that's good to know.
If you do it right, it doesn't. And if it is smelling, then it's too wet or too dry or
exactly
you have the wrong mix. I lived on for a long time. My family has a ranch and, you know, we compost. We had a big glorified garden, which we kind of called the farm. But it's interesting how useful it can be to have that. And once you get into the habit of throwing your kitchen scraps into a composting, it feels really unnatural to just put them in the trash.
My son was putting, because I have the bin of coffee grounds and I had a total coffee failure this morning. I made coffee half brewed strong and it was super ineffective. But nonetheless, because I have this little bin of coffee grounds and tea grounds, all of a sudden he was starting to put strawberry tips in there, you know, the leaves from the strawberries. And that's kind of what got me thinking. I had to tell him to stop doing that because I said, we're not actually composting. I'm just sort of faking it. And now I don't want to fake it anymore. So thank you, Optimist Daily Writers, for encouraging me to find a solution. Now we just have to tell people how to do it.
Yes. Other fun headlines today. You did mention the new study that's finding that microdosing THC can help reduce chronic pain. And that's an interesting advance. That's a great story on the Optimist Daily.
Yeah, to touch on that story. Chronic pain and microdosing THC is something that is just tried and true. It definitely works. And I think people should be very open to it. I know I had a conversation with my own parents about the use of cannabis. I had a pretty traumatic brain injury, as well as some responses in my body from that brain injury. And I used THC in a microdose capacity for quite some time in order to manage pain because I did not want to go down the road of anything narcotic. Of course, you know, once I became pregnant and now that I'm breastfeeding, that has long since stopped. But I am a firm believer in this. So definitely take a look at it, guys. Don't put THC or cannabis just into the psychoactive drug category. It is actually a medicinal drug that does great things for healing.
Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong with some psychoactive drugs, Summers. I think both of us are caffeine users, and that's the most popular psychoactive drug around. So
I know I got like a half dose of my favorite psychoactive drug this morning, which is why I'm sort of senseless.
You're microdosing your coffee today.
That's exactly it. I'm microdosing coffee. What a terrible idea.
Well, some other fun headlines just to round it out. An article about Montreal circus festivals that's popping up around Montreal in surprise locations to avoid large crowds. I loved that story. There's an article about scientists who are teaming up with dolphins to create a data collecting drone to monitor populations of whales and dolphins. A great, interesting solution. There's some tips on how to relax and unwind using bath salts in this time of needing to relax. Scientists have created robotic fabric that could lead to some therapeutic wearables, and that's an interesting one.
Let me jump in here. Part of what we will talk about this week on the Optimist Daily View about responsible manufacture of beauty products. Sephora pledges 15% of shelf space to Black-owned brands. And this was a great initiative that we heard about. I actually heard originally about it through an interview on NPR, where Sephora acknowledged that they want the shelf space at Sephora to recognize the diversity of America. So really excited to see that. That is taking action and creating solutions in diversity and representation across business.
And there's other news on racial justice. There's a petition website, change.org, is dedicating $6 million to that cause. And I think that was it. Oh, and then black raspberries.
Yes. Black raspberries are good for your skin. Want to know how? Read it on the Optimist Daily. Thank you guys all for listening to today's very, very joyous Optimist Daily update. Chrissy, I think we need more stories about gardening just to keep you and I in great moods. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Whatever kind of solutions you enjoy, please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for only $5 a month, you can support reader-funded independent journalism and be a part of the solution-changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Summers, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Christy. Have a great day. And hey, guys, if you're out and about in the world, please wear a mask. It will help.
I think space is also another good subject that we should write more about.
Oh, that's right. We have to write more about sound in space.
We didn't write about it, but there is also a new perfume that is what it smells like, what space smells like.
Oh, my goodness. That I can't wait to find out.